Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, we are. Maggie and Perloff, wherever you are, hope you're having a fantastic, fantastic day. Gotta tell you, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 56 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com.
Oh, you were smiling when I was looking for the read last yes, segment and couldn't find that. It.
All right. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Maggie and Perloff, and we're hanging out with you. So this is the biggest story in the NFL right now, and it's really about a coach that got hired and what does that mean for a quarterback. And, of course, we're talking about Nathaniel Hackett getting hired by the Denver Broncos, and Aaron Rodgers is the man who's been working with Nathaniel Hackett for the last several years as Hackett was his offensive coordinator. And, you know, it almost seems a little too easy to just draw the straight line from Aaron Rodgers to the Denver Broncos now and Nathaniel Hackett. But I'm curious to for people out there, when you're hearing Rodgers and he could possibly leave Green Bay and follow Hackett over to Denver, are you rooting for Rodgers? Because I think like all of America was, you know, had sort of a like a love for Rodgers. I think that he was very popular.
Sure.
And it's not just about the vaccine stuff or immunized or whatever, but even just some of his sort of diva behavior, right? Because the Packers, to their credit, they have built a pretty good team around him. You know, it's he's most likely going to win the MVP this year. You know, the defense is stout. You know, you do have a Matt LaFleur who I think made some mistakes in last year's NFC Championship game. But, you know, this year, still, I mean, maybe you could say they went away from the run game at times. They weren't effective in the run game. That didn't help Rodgers. There's a couple things to quibble with, but, you know, Rodgers said himself on Pat McAfee's show, he thought a lot of people were tuning in to watch him lose.
Right.
And I can't tell if this would be like a coronation with Rodgers going to another team and winning maybe a Super Bowl like Peyton Manning did with the Denver Broncos. And we know the defense was a big part of that. But still, that was a very popular move where people were super interested in Peyton Manning and what could he do after Indianapolis. And I think generally, you know, I think generally people were rooting for Peyton Manning.
Right.
I don't know if the same thing's going to happen with Rodgers. I think people might tune in to see if it's going to be some kind of train wreck.
Well, I think that's been an interesting 2 years. When they drafted Jordan Love in Green Bay, I think everybody was on Aaron Rodgers' side.
Yes.
I think everyone's like, oh, the team screwed him over. He has every right to be upset.
Oh, how dare they?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How could they not tell him?
Yeah.
How could they trade up? How could they not give him a weapon with a first-round pick to help him win a Super Bowl?
He was at peak Aaron Rodgers' popularity. Then something turned. But then again, it might be that the media likes to raise people up and then tear them down, and then he got a tear-down phase where he took it too far, where he sort of last offseason, he's off with Miles Teller in Mexico playing around, leaving the team in limbo. The team somehow, it's completely reversed where the team was a sympathetic one and Rodgers was the bad guy. Then you have everything with the immunization, which was ridiculous. I mean, we all know that. But the thing about Aaron Rodgers, I'll tell you anecdotally, at my old place, the Dan Patrick Show, we'd sell shirts. And if there was anything with Aaron Rodgers, even tangentially connected to it, it sold 10 times more than any quarterback.
Rodgers good for the merch table.
He is very, very popular. He is really, like, I think people are mad at him right now, but I think they're ready to love him again.
Okay. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Are you rooting for the Rodgers second act? I think is a big question today, because I think you're going to be split. Rodgers himself said he thought people were split about why they were tuning in to watch that divisional round.
Right, but you still see him, I mentioned this before, he's still the face of State Farm with Patrick Mahomes. He's still one of the two or three most popular quarterbacks.
Well, and he's still one of the best.
Yeah, and he's the MVP.
And that's what brings us to the next point about Rodgers, which is one that I don't think you and I really see eye to eye on, about would you leave the nice cozy nest of the NFC North to go
cold
to the AFC
West?
Yes, cold but cozy, yes, you need an electric blanket, but would you leave that nest where you're basically, you know, guaranteed wins because of the division? I'm sorry to the Lions fans, the Bears fans, the Vikings fans, but, you know, Rodgers, he's got the receipts on you guys. Would you leave that to go to a much more difficult division in the AFC West where, granted, you have a legit home field advantage in Denver, but you're facing one of the other best quarterbacks in the league in Mahomes and one of the up-and-coming great quarterbacks in Justin Herbert?
Right. I think people are saying, though, that Aaron Rodgers doesn't think like we do. He probably does not look at these quarterbacks and say, I'm scared of them.
No.
Especially Justin Herbert, who's younger, hasn't proven anything yet. Maybe you want to stay away from Mahomes, but I think logically, this Chiefs team is not terrifying me. They were not the same dominant team. Were you as afraid of the Chiefs this year as you were 2 years ago?
I should have been.
Well,
as a Bills
yeah.
fan, you mean? No one underestimated them, if that's what you're asking.
Well,
Because they kind of had two different seasons.
Right, that's a great point. Like early in the season, remember when they were 3-4 and everyone jumped off their bandwagon? Do you remember if you jumped off? Or were you still scared of them as a Bills fan?
Definitely knew at some point it was going to go through them.
Yeah.
And thought, actually, that with the weapons that they had, still were wondering, like, when are they just going to start scoring in bunches again? And we saw.
Well, funny narrative-wise, I felt like Buffalo really kind of was so close to passing them by as a dominant team. You know, that might be the team you're more afraid of in the AFC next year. I'll bet you, okay, fast forwarding, is Kansas City the far and away the AFC favorite next year? It's going to be really close.
No, but I think there's also a lot of teams you could put there. So if you're talking about Aaron Rodgers and a path to the playoffs, no doubt it's going to be more difficult just by virtue of being in the AFC. Now, does he think like that? I don't know. Does he want a change of scenery so bad that he's willing to go to a more difficult path? Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't think that he is looking at anyone and being scared about it, but if you're also trying to be strategic. So these are the questions on the table. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I gotta ask you about something, because I'm noticing a trend here that I don't know where this is going, but it has to do with Patrick Mahomes. And we already know that he is incredible. He's so elite. His skill set, I mean, Mahomes is everything and more, right? But he's getting to a level now that's almost like mythical. And I only started thinking about this when the EKG, basically, of his heart rate monitor, he was wearing like one of those tracking devices, and they released like his heart rate and what it was like from the beginning of the game on the divisional round to the end, and like a wild, frantic finish where he, you know, tosses a game-winning touchdown to Kelsey. And his heart rate, like, never changed.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was your heart rate during? If they had that monitor on you, what were you like during that final 2 minutes?
I died 30 times. I was on my couch eating a slice of pizza. Like, I know, I would have told them, would have been like, you know, like I would have probably peed my pants. I mean, I'm not built for those big moments. But his heart rate kind of stayed the same. And then on top of that, there was a tweet that came out from, I believe, ESPN Stats and Info, where they said Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, obviously the whole team, they're 3-1. In playoff games where their win probability is under 5%. So like when it looks the bleakest, right? The rest of the NFL is 1-38 in those scenarios, right? We're building a myth here. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's not a myth. We're watching with our own eyes. That's not how I should have put it. Mythical, beyond human. You know, that's what we're building up here for Mahomes. It's not just he's a great quarterback. Now he's doing things that like normal human beings even other elite quarterbacks most likely wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah, I'm looking at what these games are. Remember when they fell behind 24-0 to the Texans? That must have been one.
How about the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl against the Niners. What was the win percentage? I don't remember them being that far out of it.
They were down double digits in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible. Who's it remind you of? It reminds me of Tom Brady, like kind of man in the arena kind of stuff. Famous story for Tom Brady, he took a nap right before the first Super Bowl.
Right.
And it also reminds me, believe it or not, of Eli Manning, who felt no pressure. He's not nearly as good as these guys, but there's some guys who are cut out where the moment doesn't scare them at all. And who's one other quarterback that reminds you of who's playing this weekend? Joe Burrow. I bet you Joe Burrow's EKG is pretty normal too, which is funny. I'm like you, Maggie. Just watching my EKG is crazy. Why are some competitors wired like that where they do not get stressed out during the fourth quarter?
I think it's the preparation. I think they probably feel like, or at least can tell their brains, I'm so prepared for this moment, there's no way I can fail.
You don't think it's God-given where they're just sort of cut out that way?
I think you have to learn it.
Yeah.
I don't think maybe that's a God-given skill. Kudos to that person, you know? And, like, I think it's probably the same for fighter pilots and, you know, people in the military. I think it's the training makes it so that you are, you know, in the most, you know, dire of moments. And obviously, there's a sliding scale here. We're talking about quarterbacks in the military. I know those things are two very far apart examples. But I think it's the training. I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, but then you show Joe Burrow. They just had a graphic of him. He feels like a natural, though. Like, it doesn't feel like he just feels like Joe Cool was born that way. Yeah. Joe Montana's the same way.
But we don't see it, you know? Yeah. We don't see all the practice. We don't see all the prep. We don't watch the film with them, you know?
But I could prepare for 3 years to do something, and the preparation would actually make me more nervous. You know, I understand what you mean. I think it's both. I think that some people have a natural coolness to them. I don't know what it is. I mean, that's my hunch. I was the opposite as an athlete. I was pretty good in practice, but when the game started, I got tight.
Same.
Yeah.
Great practice player.
Couldn't
deal with the big moment to save my life. I once double faulted an entire game away in a state championship.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff I did the entire time. Because once you get in your head and you start thinking, that's the worst thing you could do.
Curtains.
Me standing over a golf ball and thinking about what can happen when I go in my backswing. That's the worst thing. Like some guys.
But somehow you beat Nance at the closest to the hole.
I know. But I think like some of these quarterbacks have a way not to let their brain get in the way. I think preparation is huge. And that's Tom Brady's story as well. But I do think that some athletes are cut out differently. Aaron Rodgers has not had that kind of success. You know, there's a lot of great quarterbacks and great basketball. I'm thinking of all the great basketball players who didn't win. Some guys have it. Some guys don't. I think it's more natural. I think Joe Burrow, it's interesting. I'd like to see his EKG.
I mean, he's got to be wearing some kind of tracker. They all are at this point.
Yeah, what was the thing that Mahomes was wearing? Was that a Fitbit? I didn't even get the...
I don't know if I have the brand. I'm not sure what brand it was, but something that I'm sure he's probably an investor in.
But now I also like your point that it's almost like he's like a superhero. Like, it's not a real football player. Like, he's going to throw sidearm, no looks, left-handed. It doesn't even, like... It feels almost like we're talking about a guy in a movie, not a real person.
Yes, and I think this is just going to add to it.
Yep.
And to the part where it's like we can't even believe what we're watching. Speaking of Tom Brady, I was reading something really interesting out of Tampa in the Tampa Bay Times that I thought was definitely worth discussing for sure, because I hadn't really heard this other places, which is the idea of what's going to determine whether or not Tom Brady decides to retire. And we can talk about family and his kids and all of that stuff, and I'm sure that all does factor in. But what this article in the Times posited was that this is actually going to be the Buccaneers having to recruit Brady just like they did before 2020. And what they mean by that is the amount of free agents that the Tampa Bay Bucs have this year. So we're talking about Chris Godwin, Fournette, and Jensen, the offensive lineman. Obviously Gronk. Carlton Davis is their best corner. Jordan White has their safety. Jason Pierre-Paul, Ndamukong Suh, Will Golston. They have all of these free agents, and it's really up to the Bucs to show Brady, we are so all in like we were in 2020, where we will promise that you have a great team around you. And so it's not so much Brady thinking about, you know, his family or thinking about, you know, other things. It's can the Bucs guarantee him that he's going to be playing on a great team?
So I thought it was his wife and his kids that were going to help in this decision. Now you're making it sound like more of a football decision.
Well, I mean, isn't it though? I'm sure the family stuff plays into it. I'm not just going to totally deny that. But these guys are different, and Brady is certainly different because he knows he doesn't have a lot of time left. But, and I think he treasures like every season that he's out there. And I think it could be open if the Bucs are not willing to go all in. And I have no evidence that they're not. They just have a lot of things on their to-do list here. And it's a little chicken or the egg. Because if Brady doesn't come back, right? If Brady decides he does want to retire or whatever, does that change Tampa Bay's plans?
Yeah, do they rebuild?
Do they rebuild?
Who's their quarterback? Kyle Trask?
Who knows?
It's interesting, though. Every player you named is a bit flawed. Chris Godwin, ACL, MCL surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how much value there is there. All these other guys, Adam Kassou, Jason Pierre-Paul, Rob Gronkowski. I mean, basically, they pulled them off the trash heap.
Well, these guys traded for JPP, yeah.
Yeah, but these guys are at the end of their rope. So can't they just bring in a bunch of other veterans? But like you said, they have a lot of work ahead of them. One name I love, Odell Beckham, is friends with Tom Brady. I don't know what Chris Godwin's future is. I mean, he's not going to come back that quickly. It was a major knee injury. So all these guys could be. Leonard Fournette. I mean, come on. Who was Leonard Fournette before he got to Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, he was a high draft pick, so.
But I don't think he was on a team, yeah.
No, he wasn't. But yeah. The thing about it is, it's like, yes, you know that just by virtue of having brought Tom Brady on your team, you're going to be able to attract people for sure. But how do you show then, Tom, do you have to show him first, hey, look how all in we are.
Right.
Look how much we're going to build a team, because that's the one thing you know with Brady. We don't know about his family. We don't know about what really makes him, you know, what makes him amazing. Whatever, you know, yeah. we can't know the guy.
We don't totally understand it. I know what you mean.
But you know he needs to play out.
But they've already shown that they'll totally go all in. GM Jason Light, he's done an incredible job, you know, and I think Bruce Arians, he's definitely back. Bruce Arians doesn't want to rebuild either. You think he has any interest in a rebuild?
No, but the other part too is, and I don't know if this matters, but does Byron Leftwich leave? Does Brady care? I don't know.
It's Tom Brady. He's 44. He's older than almost every offensive coordinator in the league right now. He does not care. I think they can replace all these guys. In fact, I think they could get better at a lot of these skills. And the Rams had so much more talent this weekend. I mean, take the quarterback out of it. The Rams look like a younger, more sort of ready-to-go team. I feel like Tampa Bay should just bring in a bunch of other free agents like they did before. It worked last time. Why not?
Well, but the thing is, do you have to show that to Brady first without being able to use Brady as one of your recruiting tools?
I can't believe that, you know, Tom Brady gives this heartfelt speech about his wife and his kids, and you don't buy a word of it because you are such a true cynic.
No, it's not I'm a cynic. I've just heard this all before.
Yeah, I know.
That's why. Yeah. I've heard it before so many different times. Got to take a step away to be with my wife and kids, and all of a sudden a guy's getting hired 2 months later.
That's why I'm saying I've heard this before. He's obviously just saying it to make his wife and kids happy, and he'll obviously be back because he said it 5 years ago. He said this.
Every offseason, yeah. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So the question out there today has to do with Aaron Rodgers. Are you rooting for his second act? If he does follow his offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, to Denver, are you rooting for him to win the Super Bowl, or are you tuning in to watch it potentially crash and burn?
Or do you want him on your team as well? Like,
well,
it's funny. Like, you're saying if he's not on your team, are you rooting for him to get the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think I know what Broncos fans would say.
Well, we had a couple callers who said we don't want him here.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't know. If I were the Broncos, I'd probably want him. But
you'd look past the immunization line. That wouldn't bother you much.
Well, I mean, listen, everyone makes mistakes. How about that? We've got so much more to get to. Fun game we're going to play with Nathaniel Hackett. We've got some great sound from you for last night. One of our very own made it onto America's favorite quiz show. All of that and more. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and SiriusXM Channel 158.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. You can follow us at Maggie and Pearl. I'm at Andrew Perloff. She's at Maggie Gray. Twitter's been going crazy today ever since the Denver Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett. Everyone's putting Aaron Rodgers in Denver. It's very interesting, Maggie. You were asking, do you root for him to succeed in Denver? Do you root against him? Just from a content standpoint, he's got to make this last about 4 months for us, right? Isn't that the time frame?
No, remember he told Pat McAfee he wasn't going to draw this thing out.
So yeah, I know, but
this is probably going to happen before free agency in March.
Do not trust Aaron Rodgers when he says he's not going to draw something out.
Oh, yeah? And, not buying it?
Yeah, I would not necessarily count on that. Although the timing with Devontae Adams, he wants help with Devontae Adams by March. But it is amazing. We spent all last offseason talking about Aaron Rodgers. So I feel like we need a good 2 months out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Rodgers probably wishes we were talking about him getting ready for the NFC Championship game. But again, not going to feature Aaron Rodgers this year because of the loss to the San Francisco 49ers. And obviously, it's going to be Niners and Rams. And then you got the Bengals and the Chiefs. We've been asking you about Aaron Rodgers, though. Are you going to be rooting for him? And also, besides Denver, what else is out there for Rodgers? Because we know the teams would be lining up. Dave's in North Carolina wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers. What's happening, Dave?
Hey, guys. Love the new show. And, I've been all over the place with Rodgers' career. I loved him at first, started to hate him. And now I'm starting to turn to liking him again. He reminds me of, like, a good WWE character, like Hulk Hogan. Like, you loved him as Hulkamania. Then he went to Hollywood Hulk Hogan with the NWO, and you still love the guy, right? I mean, he just has so many different characters. And I think the best place for him to finish his career would be Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Mm. You go to a big brand, you've got a bunch of young guys out there, a good defense, and, I mean, he could be NWO Hulk Hogan out there. He could be the bad guy for the Steelers, like LeBron with the Heat, and people would, I think, turn to liking him again.
Man, heel turn for Rodgers, like Hogan in the heel turn. What a seminal moment in my life.
I see Rodgers more as a Roddy Piper type, a Roddy Piper. Just like they remind me of each other. And of course, I always rooted for Roddy Piper. Remember, Aaron Rodgers had that tweet, the story liking Mike Tomlin. So there is a.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, he said something on Twitter, sort of amplifying how great Mike Tomlin is. So he seems to be a fan of, obviously, if you're going to go from Green Bay to Pittsburgh, you know, it's kind of got the same vibe.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, blue collar towns for sure. Rodgers going to the Steelers. Well, they'd have to do a little something to their offensive line. They need a few more weapons, too.
And they used to have a good offensive line, but guys got all retired. Deontay Johnson's really talented, has the drops. They have a great defense. They have TJ Watt. They didn't play great last year, but I think there are some elements in Pittsburgh that could be attractive.
Again, we're going to talk about divisions, though, and if we were talking about not wanting to go to the AFC West or at least considering that because of the quarterbacks, well, it's no picnic in the AFC North. I mean, you got, obviously,
I don't know.
Joe Burrow. I'm just saying, you do have Joe Burrow and you do have Lamar Jackson. I mean, your Baker's probably going to be back in Cleveland. I'm not so worried about that.
Right.
But you do have Burrow and Jackson, Jackson's won an MVP. I mean, we, like, dismiss it just because the Ravens had a terrible year.
The last team he's afraid of is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well,
you're telling
me. I'm just saying.
That franchise, I think, like, yes, this is a great year, but looking forward, like, do you expect the Bengals to have sustained success? Maybe because of Burrow, but it's still,
I do.
you got to get to know that franchise.
I know.
It's still, there's still a lot of work ahead before we pencil them into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when your general manager is your owner and they're not spending the way that you would love them to spend. I get it. Bengal fans have had to sit this one out for a long time. Now they finally got themselves back into the AFC Championship game. It's phenomenal. How about Mike in Wisconsin wants to talk about Rodgers? What's up, Mike?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just wanted to chime in on the Rodgers situation.
What do you got, Buck?
I think that now the lucky charm has come back, and now we have options again. And we are talking about Rodgers more now than we did before the season, which we all thought was impossible.
Mm. Who's the lucky charm?
The lucky charm is Hackett going to Denver. And throwing, you know, the situation in the harm's way again in Green Bay, because I don't believe we have a future with Jordan Love or bringing anything else back. Devontae Adams coming back. There are so many people that have contracts expiring this year.
So you think Rodgers is gone?
I think that Hackett going to Denver just threw another, you know.
Threw a wrench into it. Yeah, the whole plans. Mike, appreciate you. I mean, you're not wrong. And speaking of Nathaniel Hackett himself, because today's kind of like it's not about him, even though it probably should be. You know, this guy's been waiting his whole life to get a head coaching job. He finally gets the head coaching job, and it's all about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
it's not even about him. But there was one thing that you noticed about Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, yeah. I've always thought this about Nathaniel Hackett. If you want a revolutionary war hero, Nathaniel Hackett sounds like he's cut out of that mold. Like, right? Wasn't Nathaniel Hackett in Boston? Didn't he give that big speech?
He signed the Declaration of Independence?
I think one of the signers. So I have my top 10. Revolutionary war hero names of professional or college athletes.
Okay, wow. So these are athletes, current or former, who sounded like they could have been in the Revolutionary War?
Yeah, and I have actually a couple coaches in here. Yeah, so tell me what you think, and you could throw in some too as well, Maggie. But
okay.
I'm going to start number 10. Sam Adams, the former Seahawks nose tackle.
Perfect.
Giant guy. So I had to Google. This is how dumb I am. It's been so long since history. Is Sam Adams just the name of a beer, or was he a real patriot?
No, he was a real person.
Yeah, he signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
I thought I was afraid that he was like somebody that like Budweiser invented, but no, he's a real person. That shows you, by the way, our historical knowledge.
That is not good for our education system that you didn't know if Sam Adams was a person or just a beer.
Okay, Derrick Henry. Derrick, not really, but like Patrick Henry. And remember, Derrick Henry said, "Give me carries or give me death." That
is
was
that
his.
What it was?
Yeah. When he,
how many Derricks were back in the Revolutionary War?
I actually looked into that. Derrick was not really a name in the 1700s.
I think this is a little more recent.
Okay. Number 8 is even worse. John Ross.
John Ross, yes.
Like Betsy Ross.
That sounds like a Revolutionary War
Yeah, John
guy.
Ross, Betsy Ross, who sewed the flag.
Yep.
There's a bridge in South Jersey. Okay, tight end Dan Arnold. Dan Arnold
would definitely have been somebody on the Battle of, I don't know.
Ticonderoga.
He
could have been a traitor, Dan Arnold. Here's a stretch.
Still Benedict Arnold, huh?
Number 6, King Eddie George III.
Eddie George.
George.
Edward King, George.
George. King Edward George III.
Very regal.
Yes, and George III was actually the king at the time. I had to look that up. No big deal. Number 5. Hancock, you could go with Luke Hancock, who helped Louisville win a title in 2014 in college basketball. Or remember Kansas's Darren Hancock, who went on to have a 10-year NBA career.
I know Luke is a biblical name, so maybe that was around.
But
Darren? I don't know if Darren was around in the Revolutionary War.
Grab your
the
musket.
And the gunpowder, quick.
All right, number 5, I am not going to throw away my shot to do F1 driver Lewis Hamilton.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah,
Lewis Hamilton. Definitely.
So, of course, Thomas Jefferson, so I needed a Jefferson. I'm asking you, should I go Richard Jefferson, Al Jefferson or former San Diego Chargers wide receiver John Jefferson, the guy who used to wear the goggles in the 80s?
Yeah, I think John Jefferson.
John Jefferson.
He could have signed the Declaration of Independence.
But Richard Jefferson's not that far because you have like King Richard.
Yeah.
And he's cool, sort of a friend of the show, even though I don't really know him, but I feel like he could be a friend of the show. Number three, of course, Penn State coach James Franklin.
Definitely James Franklin. Yeah, that's a good pull.
Could have had a kite. Number two. Vikings running back.
Could have had a kite.
Yes, like Ben Franklin. I didn't even want to go down the road. Okay, number two. Vikings running back Alexander Mattison.
Ooh.
Every time he carries the ball.
Was he not a president? Did we not have a president, Alexander Mattison?
Every time he carries the ball, I'm like, oh my God, Alexander Hamilton is carrying the football. It's my favorite play. I saw it with the original cast. No big deal. But my number one revolutionary name sports figure. How about tennis player Madison Keys?
Madison Keys.
Getting back to the key that Ben Franklin flew on a kite to prove there was electricity.
I think it's great.
No, Madison
Keys. I love him. I don't know. Madison wasn't a first name back then, though.
No, neither was Derek.
It was just a last name. Derek, Darren.
Did any jump into your mind? I'm curious. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Patrick Graham could have been a Revolutionary War.
That's the Giants' defensive coordinator.
That's like got a Bunker Hill kind of name to it. Oh, Patrick Graham was at the Battle of Bunker Hill.
Yeah, Patrick Graham sacrificed for our nation.
Yeah, definitely. And sacrificed for the New York Giants. I thought, is Wes Welker Wesley Welker?
Wesley Welker, yes.
Wesley
the
Welker.
The Swamp Fox, Wesley Welker.
That could have been at Lexington and Concord. Here lies Wesley Welker.
Yes, you're right. Full names. I didn't really have any. The worst one on here was I was dying to get King George in there. Like, who is King George? George, Eddie George, that's about it.
I think Eddie George was a good one, but just
Edward George.
Edward George would definitely have been, you know, in Trenton.
But real question
about December of 1776.
Real question about Nathaniel Hackett. I know we have to get the break. Why doesn't he go with Nate? What's going on here? Why is he Nathaniel? How come he gets to be Nathaniel? Are we going to call him Nathaniel this entire time he's in Denver?
Is that going to bother you?
Yes, nobody's Nathaniel. Hey, it's like the fullest name ever. If you met a guy named Nathaniel, you would call him Nate, right?
So why is he Nate Hackett? I love how upset you're getting about this. Is there no one in your life who's Alexander?
Not really, but Nathaniel's a lot longer than Alexander. Hey, what's up, Nathaniel? That just doesn't ring off the come off the tongue like it
should. Get used to it, because if you're going to be rooting for Aaron Rodgers in a Denver Broncos uniform, you're going to be rooting for Nathaniel Hackett.
I think he's trying to make himself sound much more serious by going with Nathaniel.
I think that he wants to be a Revolutionary War hero. We've hit the bottom of the hour. Oh, coming up next, why one record-setting NFL season almost never happened. We have that story for you. But first, a CBS Sports Update with Rich Ackerman.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're Maggie and Perloff here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Big debate just now. We're going to get to a story about the Bengals in a minute. But Maggie had a tease in the last segment that I'm very curious about. Mm-hmm. A record-setting season that almost did not happen. My mind went in a bunch of different directions. Can you explain what you meant?
Well, yeah. It was an interesting story that came out about Ja'Marr Chase. You know, and his record-setting rookie year for the Cincinnati Bengals may have not happened because Les Miles, the LSU coach, wanted to change him from a wide receiver to a corner. Imagine if that had happened where he took Les Miles' advice and decided to go corner instead of wide receiver, we would have never had the record-setting rookie year that Ja'Marr Chase just gave us.
But it's funny, he might have been an even higher pick. He went number five overall. But as far as making money and being a successful NFL player, cornerback might be a better route than wide receiver.
You know, it's so funny because we see all these juniors, right? The younger, the sons of, you know, great NFL players. And it does feel like a lot of them are going to corner. Not all. I mean, you need a certain body type, obviously. If you're a running back, you're a running back. You're not going to be a corner. But it does seem like you have guys who are pushing maybe their sons. And I was reading about this recently, to go to corner as opposed to wide receiver. Because, you know, wide receiver, you want to get the glory. It's exciting, you know, game-winning touchdowns, all of that. But the real money is actually in the cornerback position.
Right, and probably a little bit less wear and tear, less head injuries. You're not, you know, you're not the one who is getting hit. I don't think cornerbacks really get a lot of concussions. I can't imagine that because they're not sticking their head in there most times. So we had like J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain. There's this kid who's the number one recruit, Travis Hunter, who's going to play for Deion. You know, the fact that he plays defense and he's sensational as a wide receiver says something to me. I mean, if I was that good, I'd want it. Like Trevon Diggs, you got to put him on offense. I'd play both ways. But I understand that cornerback thing. Ja'Marr Chase would have been an amazing cornerback for
he
what
probably
it's worth.
Would have been. I mean, I'm not going to say like Les Miles obviously takes the L on this one big time because Chase is an unbelievable wide receiver. Oh. So he's going to look foolish here, but would it have been crazy for him to play corner? He's probably would have been a great corner.
Yeah. I mean, LSU produces amazing defensive backs too. So that's another thing. It's like not that much of an insult. You know, the funny ones are when quarterbacks have been, coaches have tried to move quarterbacks over. Famously, Texas called RG3 and said, can you play safety for us? Won the Heisman at Baylor. They asked Johnny Manziel to play safety. It goes down to that list. I think your guy Josh Allen was asked to play another position.
I'm sure he'd probably be great at it. Yeah. I mean, he kind of looks like a tight end.
Yeah,
so.
Big Ben, who retired today, he started out as a receiver tight end. So it happens.
The famous one is Polian saying Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver. I mean, yikes.
That might be one of the worst ones.
Yeah.
But can you imagine being in the University of Texas and saying, hey, Robert Griffin, you know, why don't you come play safety for us? We don't really want you as a quarterback. Ja'Marr Chase, I'm very curious, by the way. I can't really wrap my head around how good he is. Because if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, how's this guy getting 200 yards? You know he is the weapon that's going to beat you.
Well, I think the rematch is going to try to be a little bit different here,
right?
I mean, that would have to be the number one thing that sticks out like on the tape from that first game, at least from that game we saw only a couple weeks ago, was you're going to have to try to limit Chase. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that. You don't need Football Girl to tell you that. Like... Jeff Garcia didn't need to play the game to be able to go to know that. So it's whether or not they're going to be able to, and how is Kansas City going to be able to do this? Because, you know, their secondary, you know, especially with Tyrann Mathieu still in the concussion protocol. Very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the Bengals are big underdogs, so I don't think we could start writing storylines if they get in the Super Bowl, but it would be fun to see Ja'Marr Chase as a rookie, just being that like, not quite Randy Moss level, but there's nothing more exciting than a young wide receiver who could just beat out anybody.
Yeah,
I love it.
That would be something. And of course, we're going to be making our picks tomorrow. The Odds Couple comes your way on the Friday edition of Maggie and Perloff. So looking forward to that. It wasn't the only interesting thing about the Cincinnati Bengals, though. And I don't know if this is a regional thing or not, but we found out what the Cincinnati Bengals secondary was eating for breakfast. And it's a lot. So... it looks like the order for the breakfast meeting is sausage and chicken biscuits, burritos, and hash browns.
Yes,
all
yes,
sounds
yes.
delicious, right?
Yes.
But then one of the quotes was, nobody can go wrong with Chick-fil-A. Bring at least 20 in total because, you know, guys might grab two or three possibly.
Right? I love Chick-fil-A. This sounds like I would study even harder if I was in the Bengals secondary.
Now you're motivated.
I think this is the key to success. And if anybody on the other side of glass wants to bring in some chicken biscuits or whatever these are, I'm in.
So they have Chick-fil-A in New York. We could order this in New York City. They have a Chick-fil-A. But again, maybe this is regional.
Mm.
I never would think to eat a chicken sandwich for breakfast.
Even if it was on a biscuit and smothered in gravy, would that change your opinion?
I guess. Like, chicken and waffles I get. But,
yeah.
Like, a chicken, just a straight-up chicken sandwich I don't think of as a breakfast food. And I can't tell if maybe that's a regional thing. I'm also seeing a chicken with egg and cheese on a biscuit. And that I don't understand either, because I don't generally eat chicken and eggs on the same thing. Same animal, you know?
Wait, that's your policy? That's the reason? Because they're from the same animal?
No, I don't have a policy. I guess I just don't think of them together. Like, I don't normally eat chicken and eggs together. Like, grilled chicken and eggs and cheese. Maybe it's a regional thing. I never feel like I see this on menus in New York either.
Well, the same animal thing is a little thin because you'd have a cheeseburger and they're presumably both from cows.
Yeah, no. I mean, I guess it's just kind of weird to me. It's like the chicken and the egg. I don't know.
I think you're
I've eaten a Cobb salad, so, you know, let's make myself sound a little more douchey. But this is, I guess I never thought to have grilled chicken and an egg together.
So what's your general philosophy on Chick-fil-A? Because I love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Whenever I travel, I try and get Chick-fil-A because now they have it in New York now. But for a long time, they did not.
Well, my general philosophy on Chick-fil-A is one thing. I'll tell you my experience with Chick-fil-A is another. So my experience with Chick-fil-A is it was on my college campus. And I had never heard of Chick-fil-A because I'm from the hinterlands of upstate New York where they don't have it. I went to college in Washington, D.C., and they had Chick-fil-A there. I've probably eaten my weight in Polynesian sauce, pack by pack. I mean, when I tell you, like, if you took blood from my arm right now, it's like 15% Polynesian sauce. I graduated from college almost 20 years ago. That's how much Chick-fil-A I've eaten in my life. So, I can't do it anymore. I'm out. I'm tapped out.
But so Sunday morning was actually probably Sunday afternoon when you finally rolled around to Chick-fil-A, and then you could eat a
chicken. They're closed on Sundays.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
So, but I assume this was great hangover food any day of the week.
Really, any time. I mean, it was universal. So I've eaten a lot of Chick-fil-A, but I don't remember ever eating breakfast there. It was mostly just, you know.
So my whole childhood, this is getting very inside, I would drive north from Philadelphia to a town called Hamilton, New York, where my mother is from. And we would go
Hamilton
by.
Hamilton College.
Actually, Hamilton's in Clinton. Colgate's in Hamilton.
Colgate,
We would stop at Wendy's in Binghamton.
Yeah.
Do you know the Wendy's in Binghamton?
Yes, I do.
I always thought of...
I'm from there. Yes.
I always thought of Wendy's, and tell me if I'm crazy, is sort of like the Cadillac of fast food. Like Wendy's is just a little fancier than McDonald's, Burger King.
Is it because the patties are square?
It's something about the frosty.
Yeah.
It's the square patties. There was just something a little... It
just
was
elevated? The fact they have a baked potato?
It was the way there was an apostrophe after the Wendy. I don't know. I always thought... So I had always... We didn't eat Wendy's at home. We only ate it in Binghamton. So I was very excited to go to the Wendy's because I was such a frosty kid. Oh, my God.
Do you dip the fries in?
Is that a thing? I didn't even know about that.
Did I just break news? Yeah, you do a salty and sweet together. Come on, guys. Get a clue.
That sounds amazing. So what are we eating?
I'm going to educate this show on so many things.
What are we eating after the show? Are we getting these chicken sausage egg biscuits from Chick-fil-A? Are we getting Wendy's? Because I would do a Frosty and fries right now. I don't think we had the salty and sweet when I was a kid. That came much later.
This later? You didn't have the concept of salty and sweet?
No. Like a chocolate-covered pretzel once in a while, but that sounds amazing.
Oh, poor you.
A road trip to Binghamton, New York.
Yeah, because goodness knows you can't get Wendy's anywhere else.
That's a good point.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of restaurants across the country. But sure, go to the one in Binghamton. Why not? That's where I'm from.
I love this storyline, though, that the Bengals played better defense this year because the secondary all bonded over Chick-fil-A in the morning. That's a great football narrative.
Well, the other part, too, and we get crazy with this when it comes to athletes and food. Because we love stories like this where, oh, they're just like us. They're eating Chick-fil-A and like eating like a, you know, fried chicken sandwich for breakfast. And it's like, that's athlete fuel. But every athlete makeover story always starts with the diet. Oh, I had to change my diet. I couldn't eat like how I ate. I have to start, you know, basically being Tom Brady or some version of that. Oh. Cut out dairy, cut out meat, cut out whatever. And so athlete food stories to me, it's either one or the other. There's never nothing in between.
I like the guy who's way too skinny in college and has to put on weight and what he eats, like Sean Bradley back in the day.
Yeah.
And they have to drink milkshake after milkshake.
No, it's like the Michael Phelps diet.
Yeah.
Remember when that came out, the swimmer, and he had to eat like several huge pizzas every day. I think we think that's fun.
Yeah, like Chet Holmgren at Gonzaga is an amazing player, but he's got to do like 5 milkshakes a day to get some bulk on it.
But that takes the fun out of it.
You think so? I think it'd be amazing.
Imagine if someone came up to you and they were just like, hey, we're going to need you to put on 10 pounds or 20.
I'd be like, yes.
We all amazing. Would. I've been waiting my whole life for somebody to tell me this. Like, send me to Italy. I'll come back. My pants won't fit. This would be great.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. So what's the downside? I don't think I'd get sick of milkshakes if I was a skinny basketball player. I could drink 10 milkshakes a day easy.
I think it's different when someone's like, you have to do this. You know, because you don't allow yourself to even get hungry. I remember watching a real sports episode a couple years ago where it was about the making of an offensive lineman. Mm. And in high school, this guy's parents were waking him up in the middle of the night to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, does that sound fun?
That does not sound fun. No. That's like how Russell Wilson claimed he woke up in the middle of the night to rehab his finger midseason.
Yes, yeah. I forgot. Man, Wilson is so full of it.
Yeah, but I would love, I'd have infinite milkshakes and pasta in Italy. This sounds great. But the thing where if you ate like that your whole life and then you had to go healthy, I think it'd be very, very difficult.
Yeah, that's the not fun side of it.
But then you have all these athletes who do the plant-based diet. Like Derrick Henry is on a plant-based diet. He's the biggest, strongest man I've ever seen.
I know. If that's not the advertisement for all of us to get on one, I don't know what else is.
Do you know how much plant-based meat they're selling in all these restaurants? It's unbelievable. It's transforming the industry.
You know what? I can't do it. taste
I was
going to
ask. I was just assuming. You can't even do chicken on a biscuit. How are you going to do a plant-based hamburger?
Yeah, it's not for me. I need the real thing.
You need. All right. Well, I'm very, very hungry, by the way, right now. What's the plan after the show?
We're making all of America hungry right now. I don't know if we have. We probably don't have time for this boomer size and sound, do we? We've got like no time. But it was a big story yesterday on Jeopardy because Amy lost after she had won like over $1 million. She had this incredible 40-episode run. And of all people, Boomer Esiason, who works two studios down from us, former NFL MVP, and of course, former Cincinnati Bengal, had a clue.
Finishing the category, here's Boomer Esiason. In the first ever conference championship in 1971, Baltimore downed Oakland, putting the game away with a 68-yard fourth-quarter touchdown strike to Ray Perkins from this legendary
Johnny Unitas, J.U.
Danny?
Was Namath?
No.
Oh, no! And we got to say thank you because that was Boomer's wife, Cheryl, and his daughter, Sydney, who were recording it on TV. And you knew even Boomer's wife, Cheryl, knew that was Johnny Unitas. Amy didn't know. Oh, sad that Amy lost.
Yeah, so how many?
America was rooting for Amy.
Do you know how many she had won in a row? It was a lot.
That was 40.
40. Oh, my gosh. And Boomer took her down.
He's got that claim to fame. Former MVP took down Amy.
Yeah. And
wow.
What a career. Such a huge weekend for the Bengals, too. And, like, Boomer's part of that whole legacy. Is that a jinx or is this a positive sign for Cincinnati?
I think this has got to be. It's got to be positive, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all positive. It's all Chick-fil-A,
it's
stumping
all Polynesian
Jeopardy people.
Sauce and,
it's all Maggie in college. Just going to Chick-fil-A way too often.
Just puking up Polynesian sauce. Sorry, everyone. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Mike Samter, Stu Kovacs, Marlo Donahue, everyone on the radio and TV side. We appreciate you so much. Mark Ellis was our guest today. If you missed any of it, the Maggie and Perloff podcast, you can download the Odyssey app, hit the rewind function, and listen to us there. We'll see you tomorrow. Love you. Bye.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.